All right, everybody. It is Saturday night after the Auburn-Texas A&M game on November the 6th. It's about 9:30 p.m. roughly, and John and I are back from College Station, back in the Metro Houston area. And we just have a few thoughts, preliminary thoughts about the game. We always say this is why we don't record our show on Sunday, is because we don't want the reaction within a day. Well, John, here we are like... Just a few hours. So, I mean, you think we're going to be able to make it through this? And if so, how?
We will, but I mean, the emotion is going to be raw, or we're not going to be as detached and objective about it. And we saw the game from the stands and from the end zone view in the stands, so we probably need to go back and watch it, the TV version, to see some of the things that were hard to see from where we were. So.
Yeah, and I got to admit, I mean, we had good seats. But I was watching the big TV screen as much as I was watching the action on the field, just because you could see the horizontal of it, and that was a little clearer. You don't have as much the depth perception vertically. And as we're recording this, LSU just fumbled again, and Alabama got the ball. They're going to run the clock out. So, man, talk about another frustrating game. I kept thinking LSU is going to give us a little hope and a little happiness tonight by beating Alabama, but I don't think it's going to happen. So.
Nope.
Okay, so this game did not really go the way that we anticipated. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair.
I'm not surprised A&M got 20. And in fact, they shouldn't have even gotten 20.
No.
They should have gotten like 9.
No, I mean, they're...
That wasn't the problem.
Yeah. No, their offense scored 12.
Yeah.
4 field goals.
The... Texas A&M scoring what they scored was not the problem in the game. The problem in the game was that we couldn't do anything. We had, I think, did we say 2 or 3? We were still trying to figure out. We had maybe 2, maybe 3 drives that crossed the 50-yard line and got into Texas A&M territory. We hit a field goal. We missed a field goal. And I'm not sure what if there even was another one, and if there was, what became of it, because I do feel like we were able to move the ball about once every 3 drives. You know, it's like we'd have like a 3-and-out drive, and then like a 6 or 7 play drive, and we'd have to punt, and we would have like a drive that actually got multiple first downs and then fizzled out or gave us a field goal. So just a frustrating game all the way around. There's nothing more frustrating to me in football than when your offense just can't get anything going, because it's like your defense is doing well, and even so, you know that it's going to demoralize them, it's going to physically wear them down, and it's ultimately going to hurt. You know, it's not quite the same as like a shootout with an offensive team, because there the offense never seems to get tired and just goes. The defense loses its edge when it keeps having to go back out on the field constantly.
Yeah.
So what do you suppose was wrong? Now, we talked about the receivers. I said all along that the main problem we had in the game, and there may be underlying causes like the offensive line or something, or Bo had a bad day, but to me, the main problem we had on offense was we didn't throw the ball down the field, and we barely threw the ball to our actual quote-unquote wide receivers. And a look at the LSU's throwing it. Oh, crap. LSU's throwing it in the end zone with no time left to win the game.
There's a flag.
A look at the stats bears that out. We had our top 4 receivers in this game were running backs and tight ends. John Samuel Schenker had 4 catches. Shivers had 6, or as the A&M people kept calling him, Shivers. Tank Bigsby caught 4, and Luke Deal had 1 for 15. Our actual wide receivers, Robertson had 1, Kobe Hudson had 1, Shedrick Jackson-Turner had 2, and Capers had 1, and that was it. 4 catches for a total of 22 yards for our wide receivers. 4 for 22 in the entire game.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so what do you think was wrong with the offense that was the case?
I was looking to be sure before I said this, but I am sure now. We averaged, again, in this game, Auburn averaged 3.2 yards per play. For comparison purposes, against Georgia, we averaged 4.5 yards a play.
And we know how that game went.
Yeah, but even in that game, we averaged 4.5, and there were a bunch of opportunities we felt like we left out on the field.
Yeah.
I don't know how many opportunities we left on the field. Kobe Hudson dropped the ball early in the game, but I think Texas A&M's defense swallowed up our offense. They wouldn't let Bo run. Mm-hmm. They got pressure on him where he didn't feel comfortable, you know, like you're saying, throwing the ball further, so that we had a bunch of short passes. And when we did, they tackled them up well. They contained the run well and then tackled well in space against Bo and Jarquez and Shivers. And they really bottled up Bo Nixon when he tried to run around to make stuff happen.
Well, look at the numbers for Bo, yeah, since you mentioned that. You know, in games past this year, he's been like our second, maybe first leading rusher. Today, he had 7 carries for minus 18 yards, an average of minus 2.6. And as a team, we rushed for 73 yards.
Yeah.
As a team, we rushed for 73. Tank had 69, and Hunter had 14, and Shivers had 8. And not only did Shivers have just 8, he had 8 on 3 carries, of which his long was 7. That means he had 2 carries for a total of 1 yard. So that's not a none of what we're saying here is a formula for a to win a ball game against a tough division opponent. Calzada, 15 of 29 for 192 yards. He was not great.
No, he was, especially in the first half, he was playing bad.
Mm-hmm. Didn't throw an interception, but did everything else.
But he was, you know, competent. He did not turn the ball over, like you said, and that was a big difference in the game. Yeah. He's thrown an interception every game he's been in until now. And so I thought that was a big difference in the game. Again, it was a defensive struggle in the first half, right? It was 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
Neither team could get anything going.
Mm-mm.
And in the second half, we had that one drive with the missed field goal. We did not – the only 3 times we crossed the 50, I just looked down to be sure, were when we kicked the field goal, we missed the field goal, and the drive at the end when we went from fourth down and didn't make it.
That, I knew there was a third one in there somewhere.
That's the only 3 drives where we crossed the 50.
And it – yeah, that seemed about right. About once out of every 3 or 4 drives, was it felt like we were able to put a few things together, get a couple of good runs, get a pass in there, and actually move the ball. But honestly, it never felt like we could string together enough good plays to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
It just never felt like that was going to happen. And was it our offensive line? Was it their defense? Was it a combination? Was it Bo wasn't playing well? I mean,
I think I'm gonna start give credit to their defense. They played really, really well in this game. They had a good plan. They executed well. They tackled well. They didn't let us do the things that we wanted to do, and they kind of imposed their will on us. Right? It took away all the things that we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took away the outside run really well. We tried to do that. They were in the backfield pressuring Bo. I think that's why they didn't feel comfortable calling longer passes. He tried to run, they tackled them. So I thought they had a good plan and they executed well. And they have really good players on defense. They got some defensive linemen and some defensive backs that are going to play in the NFL. So I'm not taking anything away from them. But on the other side, Auburn did not play. We played much better the last month on offense than we played in this game.
Oh, yeah.
We did not execute well. We didn't block well. We dropped a few passes. Not at the degree we have in other games, but at the same time, we didn't get guys open and execute and Bo get them the ball, right? And there were plays there that we didn't always make them.
Yeah.
I guess the biggest thing.
Well, you and I talked earlier today. We were discussing the fact that after Georgia, the SEC West is just so much matchups. It's like there's not another dominant team so much as, you know, like Team A can beat Team B, but then Team B can beat Team C, but then Team A can beat Team C, or, you know, however you want to shuffle it around.
That's right.
And so it's not like we know who's the best. It's just that we know this team can beat this one. Like, because today, you know, because Mississippi State beat Texas A&M, and so did Arkansas, but then Auburn beat Arkansas, but then Arkansas turned around and beat Mississippi State. It's like there's just a circle, and then we're going to turn and see what happens when we play Mississippi State next. So,
that's right.
Just kind of going in a circular firing squad, basically, the whole SEC and the SEC West. So, I did think the defense, not only the defense played well in general, but there were several occasions where they did give up a big play or two, and it looked like they were going to fold up and collapse, and instead they bowed up and held A&M to field goal. A&M didn't score an actual touchdown until the fumble, right? Until the scoop and score. Yeah,
their defense scored the touchdown.
That was the only touchdown.
Yeah, their offense kicked 4 field goals. They never, and the defense did bow up and stop them. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's the thing is like, you know, the offense, the other team's offense scored 12 points. We should win that game. You know, like we'd, even if we were kicking field goals the whole time, we should have won that game.
Yeah, people are going to look at that score that didn't really see the game, and they're going to think that A&M scored 2 touchdowns and kicked a couple of field goals. There was not an offensive touchdown scored in the game.
That's right.
And us having 3, I mean, you know, credit to them for stopping us, but we did put ourselves in position that we should have scored somewhere between 9 and 21 points.
Yes.
If things had played out right. And that would have been enough, especially if you don't turn the ball over. So, I don't know. So how else do you apportion like the blame in terms of what do we need to, how do we need to learn from this and going forward?
Clearly, you got to give some to Bobo and the offensive coaches. There were definitely plays when Auburn was disjointed today. You saw that. We had to call some timeouts. We weren't on the same page. And you could see the coaches talking to the players, Bo talking to the receivers and stuff. There was some of that today. I've said we got to give some to Bobo. I have to go back and watch the full game to understand how much, but he's been really good recently. But today, he got his, you know, Elko, the defense coordinator for A&M, kind of pulled his pants down on TV. So, beyond that, I mean, I think, you know, Puckett on defense did not play, and we missed him. But Tennyson played a ton. He had not played much this season. He had that one terrible penalty on the A&M punt return where he ran into the guy. That called a fair catch, but otherwise he made a bunch of plays. But with something I was looking on the defensive stats is our leading tacklers were him and Smoke Monday and like Kaufman. So a game where our linebackers are not the leading tacklers means it's a problem, right? Yeah. Their offensive line was getting bodies on the linebackers and blocking them and stuff. Now a lot of the time we had Papo, we were running around watching the tight end Weidermeyer, but still, when McLean does not lead the team in tackle, something's going on. And I think a lot of the time, especially in the early parts of the game, even in the later parts of the game, they were getting a body on McLean to push him out of the way. So
yeah, it looked like they took him into account very much so up front. I was thinking, though, that we, like you said about getting disjointed on offense, you know, there was that moment, there were a couple of plays back-to-back in the fourth quarter where we tried the flea flicker thing, and that was a disaster. We fumbled and barely got it back. And when we did all that, I could just hear.
That was a good play. That was a special play. That was special. I used a salt and pepper shaker to draw that up at the Waffle House.
So I was kind of thinking some people liked it. And then on the next play, of course, is when we fumbled and had the scoop and score. So it felt a little desperate. Honestly, it felt like Bobo was like, "All right, let's go to the." Go to the well and dig deep in the, you know, and come out with this.
And did we need to be digging deep at that point? Because it was still 9-3.
9-3,
at that point. So maybe we shouldn't have been quite so desperate.
But I think they were starting to realize, you know, it's in the fourth quarter and we've got 3 points.
Yeah. And the defense is dialed in completely and kind of owning us. We did need to shake it up and do something completely different. So.
What about the coaching? Do you feel like it was how much do you put on our coaching staff or Harsin? How much of it was Jimbo and his staff, or did they just kind of cancel out and it was really just execution?
Again, one of the things that happened was Aiden was off last week, so they had an extra week to prepare and rest up. So they were better in the same place that we were last week against Ole Miss. They were the home rested team.
Yeah.
With extra time.
You could tell, I think.
You could tell. In the same way that you could tell us against Ole Miss, you could tell with A&M versus us today.
Yeah. It's another matchup thing.
That we traveled, they were home and rested. Mm-hmm. I think that mattered. I have to go back and look. I didn't think there was any strategic kind of things that Harsin did in the game that made any big difference. So,
were you surprised that he never put Finley in?
We talked about it in the stadium, and no, I wasn't. I didn't think Bo Nix was terrible. I just didn't. I think, you know, I've said this before. Like I don't think the receivers could beat their guys. We saw that there was several plays today when, you know, they ran a play today where they put like 4 guys on the left and Shedrick Jackson on the right, and it was guaranteed to get Shedrick Jackson 1-on-1, and it was like a third down play. We threw it to him. You could see it coming, but he couldn't
get any separation.
And get separation, yeah, and get the ball. And so I think that's the thing against good SEC defenses. We don't have guys that could beat them to be able to sustain the passing game.
If this team, golly, put Seth Williams back on this team.
Sure.
Oh, it makes such a difference. It really, it is kind of remarkable the effect on the overall team of just a couple of players here or there. I was trying to think, what about the running backs? We know that, in fact, let me just look. Tank had 15 carries for 69 yards, 4.6 average. Hunter had 4 carries for 14 with a 3.5 average, not great. Shivers had 3 carries for 8 along a 7. So, and then, like we said, Bo had one good play, really, and that was about it running. So, I mean, again, it's hard for Auburn to win a ball game with 73 yes. yards rushing out yeah, of the whole that's, backfield.
That's not a recipe for success.
No, no. And it does that go back to the offensive line, or I mean, or was it just a bad matchup? Or?
Again, they're really good. They got some they got some future pros in the defensive line, but we got to be able to get 73 yards. We got to be able to get better than that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a real failure in the execution of the run game. The other stat I wanted to point out is I think Oscar Robertson had a good day punting.
We talked. He did. Really, he had like a 60-something yard punt.
Yeah, he had a 63-yard punt in the game, so he did his job.
He did,
and he angled the punts away from the returner and stuff. He was really good.
He had one. Yeah, that long one was the one where it went off to the left. It looked like it was going to go out of bounds, and it just came down, hit the ground, and kind of rolled. At least from where we were sitting, that's how it looked. Like it just, we saw this. It said like a seeing-eyed single right down the line.
Stayed in bounds, it kept rolling.
There's some kind of critter running around the field.
The fox in the U.S. and the Southern Cal Arizona game.
Oh my goodness! Interesting. Whoa! Holy crappy! Oh my God! Out of town. Y'all are missing the hot fox action going on. I guess is this game on Fox? No, it's on ESPN. Oh, he's in the crowd now.
I don't think I would touch that.
Watch out! Rabid fox in the crowd. That's the most exciting thing I've seen in football all day, and that includes LSU being on Alabama's 8-yard line with 4 minutes to go. All right, any other thoughts about this game? I mean, we talked about Bo, the running backs, the receivers, the offensive line, the defense. Again, I thought the defense played very well most of the game. It's one of those things where you can't ask them to be perfect every drive the entire game, especially when the offense is doing almost nothing.
Yeah.
Now, it was interesting. The end of the third quarter, they were one of those stadiums that puts the stats up.
Yeah.
Not all of them do, but they had like the offensive statistics and defensive statistics up on the around the side of the stadium, and it looked like in terms of first downs, time of possession,
total yards,
everything was so even for a lot of the game, and then there was a point in the third quarter I think where everything else stayed pretty much the same. But A&M started to pull away in yards.
Yeah.
They got like a long pass,
that
a long
one
run.
Long pass to that big, tall, white guy in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, there he goes
against Kaufman. I think that was big.
This is too entertaining. Man, we needed this fox on the team today because clearly he can advance up the field very quickly. He is advancing and matriculating. He doesn't have the ball, though. I think he's trying to get open. He's trying to find space in the soft zone here to get open. And he's in the end zone for a touchdown, Fox! Woo! Touchdown, Fox! And there he goes again. Yeah, off into the night he gallops. How exciting! All right, so I guess they're in Arizona, yeah. So who knows what kind of things come out of the desert? So any last thoughts about this game? I guess we'll come back in a few days, right, or something, and do a little more in depth normal show. But what do you think?
We will. Again, it was a tough loss. We hadn't lost it at A&M before College Station. To go over there and play that way, you know, I think we, you know, it was by far Auburn's worst performance of the year. That's not a shock. I mean, we played better at home against Georgia. We played better on the road against Penn State than we did in this game.
Wow.
So we just got to get up off the mat and don't let this game beat us twice and be executed, be ready for Mississippi State, I think is the biggest thing.
Well, this really was it was such a lost opportunity because we came into this game. It's a stadium we've never lost in. It's an SEC West game.
We were playing well.
We were there. Yeah. I mean, what else, you know, do you need? And it just seemed like the stars were lining up. And then I got up this morning and I kind of had this weird feeling, what if we're flat?
Yeah.
And I'm afraid we kind of were in a way, at least on offense. And so it really is just a shame. And you know, it was kind of rough in the second half to be sitting there and just enduring, because we haven't talked about the atmosphere. Last thing. That's the first time I've been at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my first experience with their yell leaders and their weird cheer. That it was much, I mean, I've heard people allude to it being different. The way that they cheer, the way the crowd is, the way the students are and everything. I'm here to tell you, it really is different. It did not feel like any other football, college, SEC football game I've gone to in terms of, you know, between plays, they pump them. It wasn't as loud. I was expecting with that many people there for it to be a loud environment in terms of the crowd. I don't know, because I never could hear the crowd, because they blast piped in music from speakers all the way around the field right up until they're about to snap the ball on every play. You never hear the crowd because and it's not even music. It's just the sound. They just play like, it's like they play old sci-fi show sound effect. They play stuff like that. Like they're using table saws and drills and stuff, and they do that between every play. I'm like, this is not a fantastic fan environment that's impressing me. This is, you've got wattage. You've got electricity, and you're not afraid to use it.
Yeah.
And then the yell thing wasn't even and I'm not trying to just poo-poo on them because I'm mad that we lost, although I am. It wasn't what I was expecting in a negative way, because their cheers weren't. They would just kind of go like, and you're like, that's not that impressive of a cheer. So I don't know. What did you think about the environment and the cheers and sounds of it?
I think Van is correct that they did. You know, we've seen college stadiums to college teams where the fans by themselves or the fans in the band can make a lot of noise.
Yes.
And A&M, the cheers were fine. I mean, I appreciate how they could coordinate them with the leaders and stuff, but they weren't loud or anything. It was just kind of this white noise, basically, in the stadium. But they did pump in a lot of music and noise through the speakers up to the, and sometimes into, you know, when they should have stopped. Several times, like on special teams plays, like after the ball was kicked, they were still playing noise and music. Auburn would be on offense, and they would do it up until like 10 seconds on the play clock. And that the only time the crowd really got loud was in the second half when Auburn was like third and long at our end of the field. That's the only time I would consider them like acting really loud.
Yeah.
But they weren't loud.
No.
That was the only, and so that was it in terms of them being loud. So.
Yeah, I think they have to do the artificial noise to impact the game, because if they relied on their cheers that they do, those are not, that's not a cheer that is effective at affecting the outcome of the game.
No.
It's not like they're doing War Eagle or they're doing body get a body get a body or anything like that. It's not sustained. Like I say, it's just they just kind of do like staccato, and that doesn't really affect the game. It's not loud enough to do anything. So they've had to come back behind that with all this white noise that they do. So, yeah, that was a letdown to me, honestly. That was kind of disappointing, because I was thinking better of them, and I was disappointed. It was the second biggest turnout they ever had, right?
That's,
I guess,
right.
After Alabama,
second
maybe?
Biggest game ever, after the Alabama game several years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's bigger than this year's Alabama.
I think so.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for right now. I guess, you know, I was pretty angry in the fourth quarter. I was very unhappy, very disappointed with the offense, very frustrated, and frankly ready to punch somebody. Wasn't going to punch John, but I was ready to punch just about anybody else, to be honest. Kind of walking back to the car, driving and getting out of there, and that was a nightmare getting out of there, and then getting some food. I feel a little better now, but I'm still very disappointed, very frustrated, and I really want us to come out and play much better against Mississippi State. That would help. That's the first thing that needs to happen, is that we play better immediately.
Yes.
What do you want to see them do besides that?
Well, again, we got to execute better on offense. That's what I want to see. I want to see us go back to doing that. Run the ball better, execute the passing game better, block a little bit better. Though here's the one thing against Mississippi State.
Which they had been doing.
Yeah, you're right. Here's one thing to put away for all of you from Mississippi State. They're bad on special teams. So okay. That's an area where we ought to take advantage and make some plays next weekend.
All right. Well, we'll be back in a few days to kind of put a bow on this one and wrap it up and be done with it and thank our patrons and all the other stuff. And we do have to thank the patrons because that's why we got to come and do this.
That's right.
And other than the game, other than the second half of this game, it has been a fantastic weekend. And John and I have had a really good time. And we hope that you've enjoyed all the stuff we've been bringing to you. If you haven't seen it, it's stuff on YouTube. There's stuff on the White Rocket Network, and there's stuff that we've been posting here. And on Twitter and Facebook, too, that I've been posting. So lots and lots of stuff. All right, we're going to get out of here, but we'll talk to you guys in a few days. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.